So when we talk of development of good manners and etiquette, what are the positive signals here? A good posture, naturally sitting up straight, or even while we're talking to you right now, a posture where probably, you know, one is a bit, you know, relaxed, or suddenly one feels a bit tired. So very important in terms of posture. Your posture represents your personality. Appropriate eye contact. Of course, we cannot dive into somebody's eyes, but we need to have appropriate eye contact with one and all. Confident hand gestures. This is considered humiliating in some cultures. So we've got to understand that when you talk of gestures, when you talk of eye contact, like some cultures do not even permit a handshake. So we need to understand that we need to respect every culture and go by what is the norm, N-O-R-M, the traditional value, belief, norm, we follow that. During conversation, gently leaning towards the other person and nodding occasionally to acknowledge agreement conveys interest, right? The moment I lean towards a person, it also shows my level of enthusiasm may have increased. A genuine smile is always a winner. Never forget, however, the simple power of small facial gestures. Lifting an eyebrow to express everything from contempt to, now we can break that word up if you find it difficult to pronounce, it's conspiratorialism. We talk of conspiracy, you know, you want to conspire against somebody, you want to kind of be conniving and scheming against somebody. So that's what they are saying. Pursing one's lip to suggest disapproval, right? These are minute movements that can crush or uplift those around you. Remember, listening is an active component of effective communication. You cannot multitask speaking and listening. More time you allot to listening, more effectively you will be able to communicate. Create a physical space, proximics, you know, when we create a space, a distance in terms of, you know, the people who are with us, how much distance are we comfortable keeping when we communicate with them? So the space, focus on reacting and responding to the speaker, very important. You have to respond or react. Create too a space in your mind for what the speaker has to say. If I have a closed mind, I will not be able to or even wish to absorb what the other is saying. So I have to have an open mind. That means not very rigid views, not being inflexible as to what others say. Create a space between your thoughts. Think of listening as a form of meditation. When you're meditating, you're ideally in peace. When you're meditating, you're actually relaxed. When you're meditating, actually meditation means deconcentration. Here we talk of meditation means letting the thoughts flow. So whatever the person is saying, I'm willing to accept his or her thoughts. I'm not closed or rigid that no, this thought I don't agree to, so I don't even bother to listen. I listen, I understand, but then what I feel comfortable with, I take in. What I feel that I'm not comfortable with, I leave that idea to be his idea or her idea. But no strong likes or dislikes, no strong biases. When I say strong bias means bias as it is, I am biased means say against something. When I say strong, it means absolutely, you know, prejudiced to an extent towards the situation or the person. Think of listening as a form of meditation, as we said. Quiet your mind and focus your attention on listening. Ability to understand non-verbal behavior. When people exchange ideas, they see a great deal through body language. Research has concluded, now see the figures vary. Ideally, 55% is communicated through non-verbal communication with use of facial expressions, tone of voice, eye contact, gestures. You must listen not only with your ears, but also with your eyes. So that's called, like, you know, sensory perception. You are listening also through eyes. That means also eye appeal. What the person is saying, is it appealing to me in terms of the words and then through my ears? So eye appeal of what I see of the speaker. That means besides the words, of what I see of the speaker. A great deal can be added to a conversation without adding a word. Yes, just an eye contact, just A very smart handshake with a lot of confidence can say lots. A smile, for example, can encourage or discourage the other person. A smile is a universal language. Anger, happiness, sadness, tears, these are universal aspects of communication. Anywhere in the world, a smile is accepted. Anywhere in the world, we know that tears can be mostly for sadness, but also tears of happiness too. But tears ideally are a universal language too. If you smile and nod, the other person is likely to continue speaking. If you stop doing it, the communication can come to an abrupt end. So we've discussed verbal. Listen not only with your ears, but also with your eyes. Nonverbal, it's actually 55%. So facial expressions, tone of voice ideally comes to 38%, and words comes to 7%. So appearance, eye contact, gestures, posture, all these ideally we talk of nonverbal. But when they've given this figure, we take nonverbal to be 65 and verbal 35. See, there we're talking of nonverbal, we're talking of tone, and we're talking of words. Here we're talking the breakup between verbal and nonverbal. So 65 and 35. Art of asking questions. One has to be skilled in terms of asking questions. How do I ask an effective question? Questions define tasks, express problems, and delineate issues. They drive thinking forward, right? What kind of a question have I asked? Is it related to something which needs ideally to be discussed? Can I postpone asking this question? Does this question have any logic or relevance in relation to this topic? Do I ask the concerned person this question, or should I ask somebody else? All those aspects. Answers, on the other hand, often signal a full stop in thought. Only when an answer generates further questions does thought continue as inquiry. A mind with no question is a mind that is intellectually alive. Now, this thing is a mind that is not intellectually alive. It's like this. You have your own views to it. Here, this thing is a mind that is not intellectually alive. For example, when we are teaching, if there are questions, it means you have doubts. If there are no questions, it means you've understood everything or nothing. So, if one has understood nothing, a mind that is not intellectually alive. And if you've understood everything, we assume that a mind is ready to absorb and intellectually alert. No questions asked is no understanding, right? Superficial questions equal superficial understanding. That means you've not understood the root of it. You've only understood at a superficial level. Unclear questions equal unclear understanding. If your mind is not actively generating questions, you are not engaged in effective communication. Well, not necessary, but can be possible, because your mind can also generate questions if you feel you have doubts. If you're well versed with the subject and have understood it effectively, you don't even need to be asking questions. Remember, questions make people uncomfortable. Think of all the tones of voice in which questions can be put up. A simple question, what way can I help, can be interpreted as shrugging off the responsibility, a request for advice, a genuine offer to assist. Now, what way can I help you? Genuine offer to assist. What way can I help? That means, you know, look, I don't feel like helping you, I'm just asking you. And request for advice, then the tone would be completely different. What way can I help? So more polite, right? Depending on how the question is put forward, the tone and the body language employed. Here, the person is asking with a smile, so ready to actually help. When you question, you establish rapport. Do not try to impress people with your ideas. Rather, establish rapport and trust by eliciting ideas from them and thus expressing how much you care about them. Listen better. Understand deeper. All too often, while you are talking, your prospect is not listening but thinking about what he or she is going to say. When you ask questions, you make your prospect think in the direction you propose. So, when we say listen better, understand deeper, that means the more attentive you are, the more you will be able to understand. Generate higher motivation. Follow
up.
That means the right answer will not be imposed by you. It will be found and owned by your prospect, who thus will be more motivated to follow it up. See, very often when we're looking for answers, you will realize the right answer comes to you after some point of time. You will realize the right answer comes to you just at the right time. Or you realize that since you're so focused, motivated, you got the right answer. So a lot to do with when you ask questions. Do not assume you're asking questions to impress a person. Your questions should be direct, clear cut. Your questions should be appropriate to the topic. Your questions should be asked to someone whom you know can answer effectively. To summarize, evaluate your current questioning skills. Do you feel you can ask questions effectively? Do you feel you have the skill of putting forward a question in the way it should be? Then systematically improve them. Choose better questions and ask them the right way. Very important. Ask tough questions more effectively. How will you put forward the question in the simplest of words? Get at the truth. Uncover the real problem so that you can all solve it. Master the crucial non-verbal aspects of asking questions, finding your best style and the right body language, right? So, just the previous slide, I showed you the picture. The girl, what was her body language? How do you think she put it forward? The tone, body language go hand in glove. That means the way I say, along with my body language, it should go in synchronization. Seeking and handling feedback. Feedback is what is obtained by the sender from the receiver. It could be related to a topic. It could be related to a situation. It could be related to an event. It could be related to reactions and responses of the people in a particular group working together and not being able to cooperate with each other due to certain reasons, due to group dynamics. So how do they ideally relate to each other? Feedback is essential in communication so as to know whether the recipient has understood the message in the same terms as intended by the sender and whether he or she agrees to that message or not. Giving your audience a chance to provide feedback is crucial for maintaining an open communication climate. As a manager, you must create an environment that encourages feedback. For example, after explaining the job to the subordinates, you need to ask them whether they have understood it or not. That is why paraphrasing or that is why summarizing is considered important. You should ask questions like, do you understand? Do you have any doubts? At the same time, you also have to allow his subordinates to express their views. The subordinates should be given a chance to express their views. It can't be that you keep talking and do not give others a chance to talk. The subordinates have to get a chance to speak. For effective communication, you can provide your feedback and ensure that your own understanding is clear and complete. This can be achieved by offering to summarize at intervals, asking for clarifications whenever possible, by stating your own views and feelings. It requires skill and practice to express your response honestly and without getting emotionally involved. So let's take a few tips for feedback. Feedback should be direct and to the point. Feedback should be immediate. Feedback should be concise. When I say direct and to the point, I do not discuss feedback in relation to a person whom I dislike. I discuss feedback in relation to the event which is linked to the person. When I talk of immediate, I do not discuss something which has happened 6 months prior and I'm yet wanting to take revenge or get angry with that person on and off due to the past. Then that will make no sense to give feedback. So it has to be immediate, to the point and concise. When you talk of feedback, it has to be specific, not evaluative. I cannot be judgmental as far as feedback is concerned. So I need to look into these points. And no emotions. That's why I said, I do not express my dislike. I am just expressing what it should be in terms of my views for that person. To be effective, feedback should be provided immediately after the event. It should be directed at the message and not at the person. Feedback should be specific and not vague so the person receiving it can arrange necessary action. Avoid "you were not listening." Instead, say "I feel you were not listening." When I describe how our sales in the West division are below the target this month, this is an empathetic tone. I feel you were not listening. So I'm making the person feel that he or she should participate, and I'm also making the person feel that ideally he or she should know that he was not an effective listener. You can assert yourself, but do not ever be aggressive. Remember, you want communication to be effective. Similarly, when you disagree, be sure that you are not offensive. Summarizing what the other person has conveyed first and then expressing your agreement or disagreement is very effective. You can use the phrase like, "Can I state an alternative view on the matter?" with great advantage. So, I am being more empathizing rather than a critical listener or being very negative. I'm being more empathizing while I'm talking. When the other party refuses to agree with you, always react with the question, "Is there anything more you wish to add?" So you're making the other party realize that, look, your views differ here. What else do you wish to say? And when the person has nothing to add, pose a question. What will make things better? Do not attempt to solve the problems that are being raised by others, right? You focus on what needs to be done. You focus effectively on what you have to do. For better communication between a manager and his employees, a manager should ensure continuous feedback. That should use I statement. Managers should make use of statement with words like I. However, for example, instead of saying "you were absent from work yesterday," manager should say, "I was annoyed when you missed your work yesterday." Or, "I feel you should not take leave because we've got a lot of work to complete." Ensure understanding. For feedback to be effective, the manager should make sure that the recipient understands the feedback properly. There are a lot of ways in which company takes feedback from the employees, such as employee survey. So getting ideas, views, opinions from all. For example, a person who is a subordinate was gossiping to a great extent. That means grapevine, rumors, gossip. Now this person ideally made a mistake of ideally spoiling the image of a person at top management by spreading rumors about his personal life. When a survey was taken by the people within the organization in relation to some other aspects, this too was put forward as a question. And the employee, of course, was fired. Memos. Memo is the form of communication within an organization. Email, open door policy, where ideally anybody can communicate with the other. Free flow of communication. And company newsletter. Employees are not always willing to provide feedback. The organization has to work a lot to get accurate feedback. That means what information you've got is 100% correct. The managers encourage feedback by asking specific questions, allowing the employees to express general views. The organization should be receptive to the employees' feedback. Now we talk of the Johari window. This term was coined by Joseph and Harry Luft. Joseph Ingham, Harry Luft. Johari window. The Johari window ideally expresses information in terms of interpersonal and intrapersonal communication. Inter, I-N-T-E-R. How you have intercollegiate sports, that way interpersonal. So between two or more people. Intra, the thoughts that go on within the mind. Intra, I-N-T-R-A. The Johari model is used to enhance the individual's perceptions on others. The model is based on two ideas. Trust can be acquired by revealing information about you to others and learning yourselves from their feedback. When I say learning yourselves, that means I learn through the feedback I get from others. Each person is represented by the Johari model through four quadrants or window panes. So first, to enhance individual's perception on others. When I talk of interpersonal communication, If I meet you after 5 years, say I was working in your organization and I meet you after 5 years. When I left your organization, we parted on a bitter note. We had an argument, and after that, I had never ever met you. Now it seems I met you when I started working at another place, that too after 5 years. So I have a lot of biases towards you because of your reactions and your behavior out there. So what ideally happens to me? The thoughts which go on within my mind. Thoughts full of worry, anxiety, fear. And when I communicate with you, that anxiety, worry and fear is very evident in my body language, is evident on my facial expressions, is evident in the way I interact. So ideally, Johari window shows the link between inter and intrapersonal communication. Each of the four window panes signifies personal information, feelings, motivation, and whether that information is known or unknown to oneself or others in four viewpoints. Now, this is the Johari window, a tool for enhancing communication, for getting communication better. This is the Johari window for getting communication better. So first window pane, known to self, known to others. When I say known to self, known to others, it's open area or arena. What is to you as well as the others? Something as simple as your name, something as simple as to where you're working, something as simple to as to what do you do in life, right? Known to you, known to others. So this window pane is open. Now I will discuss each quadrant and come back to the diagram. So as I'm saying, now I will go to the next slide. I will read the points for the open area, come back to the diagram to explain the next quadrant.